everybody get a copy of the material that we're going to be using for our study. And thank you to Lenny for binding all of these for me. I was going to bind them with a really cheap fold-over binder, and it didn't come in time. So Lenny said, "I can do that." And he did. So thank you very much for that. We'll try to look at one lesson per week. I don't know if we'll make that. There's a lot of material here. A lot of it you're going to be able to study at home. And when we come back together like this, we'll be able to talk about what you've read. So if you read and have a question about something as you're reading, jot it down so we can talk about that question. As you look at this, what you see is there are some questions in the right-hand column. Those are just kind of thought questions, things that you probably ought to be thinking about as you're reading the material. They're just sort of guideposts, and hopefully they'll help you get more out of the material as you read through this material. And we're not gonna talk about everything that's included here. We're gonna kind of focus on some of the things that we see at the very end of this, the concluding thoughts. There are some questions there that are pretty provoking, thought-provoking questions. And so we're going to spend most of our time talking about those kinds of questions rather than going through the material that we have laid out for us. Now, as a teacher, I get to choose. Sometimes I think some things are really important and we need to talk about them. So we'll talk about some of the materials, but we're going to kind of focus on the questions that you see at the end. So as we start thinking about this, we start thinking about zeal. I have a confession to make. It's hard not to get burnout and to get tired of just trying to be zealous for God and to kind of give up. Does anybody else ever encounter that kind of feeling? Or am I the only one? I know it's a problem that besets preachers. Sometimes more than it does other people. I know it's a problem that classroom teachers have when they're involved in education, whether it's here or in schools. You get burned out after a while. And it's really hard to keep up and to maintain a level of zeal that you started with, or to maintain a level of zeal that you kind of grew into as you become more and more involved with God, your zeal increases and it can burn white hot. And sometimes it's hard to maintain that because a lot of other things kind of get in the way. You know, we do have families. You still have to mow the yard. You know, your car still does break down and you get sidetracked and you get distracted and you're trying to keep up with everything that you have to keep up with. And the white hot zeal just kind of, for want of a better term, it just kind of fizzles out. Yeah, Carol?
I think balance has a lot to do with it. As you say, with zeal, if you burn white, you're gonna burn out because you haven't got the balance of God in your life, and maybe you need to step back every so often to think about the blessings that God has given you, and maybe work for months or maybe even a year. Sometimes you have to just change the fruit of the spirit in you, so that it's not zeal that's at the top, but it's another gift that he has given us besides zeal. But that doesn't mean that you still don't burn for God. It's just not that white hot pushing. It's the improvement isn't on an outward, it's on an inward.
Oh yeah, that's absolutely true. Zeal is always inward. Other thoughts? You know, I have often said that elders get tired because they're going to stand out in the front and they're going to take the beating from every end. They're going to protect the flock. And sometimes that means you're going to take a beating. And you know, we can only take that beating for so long until we have to sit down and go rest in somebody else's shade for a while. And I think, and I'm sure God appreciates the fact that I agree with him, but I don't mean to say it that way. But you know, I think that's why there's a multiplicity of elders, because every once in a while somebody gets tired and says, I have to sit down in your shade. You go stand out in front and let them beat on you for a minute, so I can rest. I think even Jesus did that, had to go out into the wilderness and just spend some time alone with God in prayer, because it's hard to maintain that kind of zeal all the time. So let me ask you a question. When you think of zeal, what do you think of?
Earnest desire.
Okay. That's good definition of zeal. Yeah.
Loving something so much that it's first in your life.
Okay. Lee, you had your hand up.
Enthusiasm.
Okay. Enthusiasm.
I think of radical. And the reason I think of that is I think about people like John the Baptist, who was probably a zealot, people who were of that group within that Jewish construct in the New Testament times. The zealots were so radical for God that they almost were so focused, so laser focused, that they kind of pushed out everything else. And so in a sense, so when I hear the word zeal, I think of a zealot and how dedicated and radical they were. And it could be that you know, the Sons of Thunder were from the zealot group.
They at least were, Simon.
At least, and we know Simon.
Zealotes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And their passion was so radical that they eliminated everything else. And so in that way, they didn't have balance. But that's what I think of when I think of the word zeal. I think of zealots.
Okay. Yeah, Bill?
Right up there on the board. It's an inward passion that others don't necessarily see, but it's always there.
Okay. Any thoughts at home? What do you think of when you think of zeal?
How to get it on. I think of like a commitment to a purpose.
Okay. Good definition. Commitment to a purpose. Other thoughts? Yeah, for a while I actually sold life insurance. And one of the hallmarks of selling life insurance is making phone calls. Just cold calling people. And I could do that for sometimes 2 or 3 weeks. And you get turned down a lot. And it's kind of hard to keep going. But successful people in that line of work will tell you, you have to call 20 people for every one person that says, yes, I'd like to talk to you. And you're really only asking if you want to talk. You're saying, I think I have something that would benefit you. Would you like for me to tell you about it? And it's really hard. You make phone calls all day long, 8 hours, sitting at a desk, making cold phone calls.
It's fun.
And you don't get a single person who says, yeah, I'd like to hear about that. That's hard. It's just like canvassing if you're a real estate agent. You have to go from door to door and keep looking for those listings. And there's a young guy in our neighborhood who is out there every afternoon asking people that he sees on the street, would you like for me to give you an estimate for washing the windows on your house? But you got to do that. And that's the zeal that we need to have. And I don't think, if Kim is right, I don't think we have a good concept of radical Christianity. Being that motivated. And it may be that it's hard to maintain that balance because that radical zealot mentality is really difficult. So I think we may, if nothing else, over the course of this study, we may learn something about balance. And I think it will be helpful to us in the long run. We're not in a sprint here. We're in a long distance race. And I can look at the group that's here and I can say that, well, what's the shortest period of time that you've been a Christian? How about, let's just say 20 years. I'm looking for a show of hands, the shortest time that somebody's been a Christian. 20 years? 25? 30? Okay. Got a bid at 30? 35? 40? Ooh, some of you are not that old. 40. 45? Okay, got a bid at 45. 50? That's a long time. That's just a long time. And we should applaud somebody who has maintained a devotion to God for 50 years. Think about what that takes. We should applaud people that maintain a devotion to God for 25 years,
yeah.
For 20 years, for 5 years, for that matter. It's most of us don't work 25 years before we retire. And I've been in a lot of churches where people got to 60 years old and they just kind of retired. They were gonna still be there, but they weren't the people that were real involved. They weren't on fire for God anymore. Maybe one time, but they let that slip away. So one of the things that we're gonna try to do is understand how we maintain it. And there's a statement that he makes about all towards the bottom of the first page. He says there are five essential qualities that set a Christian's passions apart from raw enthusiasm. Raw enthusiasm fails pretty quick. You know, I that's like raw enthusiasm for exercise or raw enthusiasm for keeping your New Year's resolutions. Mine generally lasts at least until halftime of the New Year's game. And then I'm not going to eat those sugary snacks anymore. And then second half of the game, I start eating them again. So we're not talking about raw enthusiasm, we're talking about zeal. And let's look at these five essential qualities that he mentions here. He mentions courage, wisdom, energy, diligence, and loving service. So let's look at these passages for just a minute. First Peter, the third chapter, at verse 13. For some reason, my glasses are just giving me fits. Man. Well, they got fingerprints all over them. Somebody want to read 1 Peter 3 and verse 13?
Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good?
Okay. Who's going to harm you if you're eager to do good? Who really can harm you? That's a certain, that gives a certain courage. Look at Romans 10, verse 2.
For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge.
Okay. What do you see there?
There might be a different kind of zeal.
Okay. How does wisdom make zeal last?
It's wisdom would be knowledge put to use.
Okay.
And so,
Okay.
with zeal, you would have knowledge, wisdom, and you would have the rocket behind that would be your zeal.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, Dean.
Well, I think that question you just asked makes me think of so many times we have these young individuals or people who've come out of the world that learn about the gospel and get baptized and just get crazy zealous for doing God's work, thinking because they're doing God's work that they'll never stumble, fail, or be tempted. And so that's that zeal without knowledge, if you will. This wisdom lets us know that there's still sins, temptations, trials, errors, yet there's a reward.
Okay. Yeah, Carol.
Well, I'd say if you think about zeal, Christ had a zeal for God, but he didn't rush and put 3 years all into one.
Okay.
So,
That's an interesting observation. And it made me think, and I hadn't thought about this before, there were a number of times that Jesus said, the time is not yet. So there's a lot of things that have to happen. Don't get all carried away trying to do it all today. Yeah, Bill.
Solomon said, be not overly religious.
It's an interesting passage. What do you think it means?
Need to balance. You can't push people.
Okay.
And you can't force your religious life on them. That's just my take on it. I don't know if that's what he meant.
Okay.
In the context here in Romans, though, he's talking about the Israelites or these Jews that had really misplaced their zealousness. They were zealous for God, But they didn't have the proper knowledge and then the wisdom, as Faye said, to apply that knowledge. And that comes with growth, as I think Dean alluded to. You know, when you're young in the faith, you haven't accumulated knowledge and wisdom yet. But you're on fire, you're zealous. But it could be a misplaced zealousness because you don't have the wisdom in which to apply that. And, you know, and I think the Apostle Paul is a really good example of that, is he was zealous for God when he was Saul. But it was misplaced. The knowledge wasn't there until later when he did encounter Jesus. And then he got those things in line. And he was still zealous for God. It's just that he had the knowledge and the wisdom connected with that. So I think the Apostle Paul might be a good example of that. Because he was zealous all the time. And he even said that he was zealous and he was working for God. But his knowledge was misplaced. He didn't have the knowledge that he needed.
Yeah,
she makes me think of the Sons of Thunder. Yeah. They went out and this one city didn't accept him, and they wanted to rain down fire on him because of their zeal. So they didn't have the right knowledge of what they were supposed to do at the time. So
it
okay. Now, sometimes we call that going off half-cocked. And that happens, you know. Sometimes you have to just kind of rein in some people because they don't know exactly what they're in a frenzy. They want to do something.
Sort of like impetuous Peter when he wanted to build the tabernacle to all three.
Yeah,
that's sort of an impetuous zeal that
Peter.
Yeah, he's a good example of zeal with misplaced knowledge.
Yeah, you know, it's just not tempered by wisdom.
Right.
That doesn't mean that it's lessened, it means it's directed by wisdom. Yeah, Bill.
There's examples in the Bible, and I think of Rahab and Ruth as a couple of those people that were not acceptable to the nation of Israel normally. But wisdom dictated they had the right heart. They belonged. They shouldn't just be rejected out of hand. We may meet people like that. There's all kinds of people in society that some of us may look down on. And they're important to God, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes a lot of wisdom to see that. Sometimes. Let's think about the next one. Energy. Somebody want to read John 4, verse 34?
Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work."
Okay. Now that's someone who displayed energy, but knew that periodically the energy had to be renewed. Right? I have to do the work that God sent me to do. And sometimes doing the work that God sent you to do means that you have to go out into the wilderness and pray. Yeah, Kim.
I think it's interesting here. He called it his food. That's his sustenance. That's what animates him. That's what motivates him to do everything he does. And if we look at it that way, we look at what's valuable to us. We have to have sustenance. We have to have food in order to live, right? And he's saying that it is so critical to him that he does the will of his father and finishes his father's work. That it's the food that feeds him. That's what sustains him.
Okay.
That's the energy is the gets from the food from his father's work. It feeds him.
Okay. And we'll talk a little bit of there's an interesting illustration in here where he talks about the fire triangle. We're not going to get to it tonight, but he talks about the fire triangle and maintaining the zeal because all sides of the triangle are working together. Just like fire, you can put out a fire if you remove all the oxygen, if you remove all the fuel, if you remove all the heat, the fire will go out. And that's not something that we always remember. But if we can get those three things in line, then we can maintain our zeal. Let's look at Ezra chapter 7, verse 23. Somebody want to read that one?
Whatever the God of heaven has prescribed, let it be done with diligence for the temple of the God of heaven. Why should there be any wrath against the realm of the king and of his sons?
What do you see there?
Whatever you're asked to do, do it with diligence.
Okay.
I tell my boys, do it with a sense of purpose. Don't just do the task, do it with a sense of purpose behind it.
Okay. Interesting, my brother-in-law, who has just passed, he used to start out the first day of class, and he said, I want you to tell me something about yourself, and I want you to use your very best penmanship.
He taught sixth grade.
Yeah, he taught sixth grade. And I want you to use your very best penmanship. And people would be very careful about forming all of the letters, making sure everything touched the line it was supposed to touch, and all of that. That was back when we learned how to write in cursive. Okay. Today he'd probably say, I want you to do it on the keyboard, and I want you to do it. I want you to pay attention to all of the grammar rules. I want you to make sure that you get all of the punctuation exactly right. I want you to do your very best job. And it never failed at some point during sixth grade. Everybody would turn in something sloppy that they did on the spur of the moment because on the bus on the way to school, they remembered, oh, nuts, I had to get this done. And so their writing reflects the fact that they're bumping along on a school bus. And so they turn that in, and Mark would have them sit down and make a comparison between the kind of work that they did when they were being diligent and the kind of work that they did when they got sloppy. And it had a big effect on people. It has a big effect on me because you can tell when I'm pressed for time and I start putting things together and I send out emails that have a lot of mistakes in them. And every once in a while I get pressed for time and I think I've got to add this PowerPoint slide and I make an addition, but the it's just not well done. Okay. And you can tell it's just not diligent. Yeah, Carol.
It may not have been diligent, that kid writing his homework on the bus, but he did have a zeal to get the
That's true. He didn't want to sacrifice 10% of his grade and turn it in late. But you gotta be diligent about things. Can't be haphazard about it. So if you're going to pray to God, don't be haphazard about your prayer to God. There's nothing wrong with taking the time to write down what you want to say to God. And, you know, everybody, if you read the prayer list that I used to put out, and it sounded like Dean, okay, absolutely sounded like Dean. It had some edits that sounded like Kim got a hold of it before Dean sent it out. But I tried to be diligent about what I said to God. And we don't always do that. We say, you need to pray, but we forget about being diligent and the idea of doing your best work. Other comments? I didn't mean to turn this into this much of a lecture. Yeah, Carol.
But when you talk about prayer, we were talking about the energy that Jesus had, and when he needed strength and he needed to go out and be alone and pray all night long for the strength from God, that word that fed him, he communed with God so that he had that word in him. And it just, what you were saying about prayer just reminded me that that's the energy that he was talking about, his Father's will.
Yeah.
He always thought about the Word of God. He always answered everything with the Word of God.
Right. And I'm not saying that we, when we talk to God, we ought to sound like King James English. I'm not saying that at all. I don't think we ought to, because none of us speak King James English. Nobody spoke King James English, even in the time when King James lived. People didn't speak in King James English, okay? But we need to be diligent. Let's look at the last one. And I turned the page too quickly here. The last one. Somebody want to read Romans 12, verse 1?
I'm going to start at verse 9. It's verse 11, I think.
Oh, I'm sorry, verse 11.
And verse 9 gives us the idea of what we're talking about. It says, love must be free of hypocrisy. Detest what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord.
Okay. What do you see there? You stress the idea of love. What do you see there?
Well, the whole point he's making here is he starts this sentence with the idea that we must make love a priority. And he climaxes there in verse 11 by saying, not lacking behind his diligence, that is diligent to be loving to one another and fervent in the spirit. So expressing that love in the way we show that God shows love to us, doing the same for our fellow brother.
Okay. Other thoughts? By the way, that was a great segue to the next point that I want to talk about. Let's talk about God's zeal. That's not something that we talk about. I don't know that I've ever preached a sermon about God's zeal. Don't know that I've ever taught a class about God's zeal. But when we think about God's zeal, the zeal that God has, what do you think about? I can see the wheels turning behind your eyeballs. Yeah, go ahead, Bob.
Well, God has a form of zeal connected with his thoughts towards his people.
Okay. And how does that play out? What does it look like?
Well, God's zeal is forever, and it's active. And it never changes. It's always there.
That's true. That's true. And God never has the burnout problem. Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah, Carol.
It made me think of the time when God was so angry at the people that he wanted to kill them all, and Moses talked to him and said, please don't. I know you can raise up children from the stone, but what will all of the rest of the nations see? And God's zeal for what is right can even put God in a situation where he doesn't like what he sees and he considers something that is rightfully his right to do, but his zeal for the truth and for love and for all that is good when people are evil, he can be rationalized with, but he is in his essence, he is love and goodness. And his zeal is for us to be filled with his love and goodness. And when that doesn't happen, it bothers him tremendously.
No, that's true. Yeah, Bill?
He has absolutely no tolerance for corruption or evil in his kingdom.
Okay. You're right. Yeah, Bill?
When I think of God's zeal, I think it's 100% in. I mean, I think it look you ask the question, what does that look like? I think it looks like the cross. He gave everything out of love, everything. And this word has been brought up a couple of times, and I think this is going to be a really challenging class for me because I struggle with this so much. The word balance has come up a couple of times, and I don't mean to kind of put the kibosh on that, except for the fact that whole concept of having balance in our lives is a very new concept. It's very modern and kind of pop psychology and all of that to kind of have balance. When God never said, have balance in your life and follow me. He said, pick up your cross and follow me. He wants 100%. He wants everything. And if we're going to love like God loves, that means we give everything, including the cross. Or whatever sacrifice we need to give, if we want to model love and be love like God is love. God's not the definition of love. He's not the embodiment of love. He says he is love, and he expects the same from us. So it's hard because our culture talks about, oh, you need to have balance, or you need to have this, or you need to have that, and all of the things that we are surrounded with, God never said that. He said, pick up your cross and follow me. That's 100% dedication. And that's where we get burnout. And so how do we avoid the burnout? And I'm hoping that this class will
Yeah,
help with
with this last one.
that. Yeah. And I don't mean to pick on that because I do think that we need to I mean, I don't that concept of having balance in our lives because we have a lot of things that our lives that are involved in our lives. But what is that core? What is the core that we have? It shouldn't be balance. That's not what we're striving for.
It's interesting. Interesting. Yeah, Carol.
I think of Bob's sister, Judy Johnson, who was limited in so many ways and walked with the aid of crutches most of her life and then was in a wheelchair. And if she could be here, she was here. Now, that is not what some people would call zeal, but I say it is a zeal. She had a zeal to love the Lord. She focused her life on coming to serve and to be his servant. She did all sorts of knitting and things like that and gave stuff away and things like that. But zeal doesn't have to be big. Zeal can be little. It's a faithfulness to God. And I thought of her, and I also thought of another lady who had really arthritic hands. And she told me that some mornings she got up at 4 o'clock in the morning to be able to take the time to dress herself to have somebody pick her up for services at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Now, that is a zeal for God in a different way than we talk about burning and doing and action. It's a zeal to be close to God.
Yeah.
In Ezekiel 18:23, God said, "Have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked?"
Okay.
He wants everybody that wants to be saved to be saved. That is his passion.
That's
he
a good
wants
point.
Every honest heart in his kingdom.
That's a good point. I'm afraid that we've kind of run out of time. So just read through this stuff and spend some time thinking about it. Hopefully we can make this a class that's very helpful. You know, when I think about a person who had zeal, I think about Carolyn Brown.
Oh, yeah.
She was not able to do hardly anything. Everybody that met Carolyn said, "That woman serves God."
Yeah.
And she did. She did. She made it her entire purpose to be what God would have been if he'd had clothes on. Then we're out of time.
She always named sin and told Satan to get behind her. When she saw it, she said, "Satan, get behind me."
Not today, Satan.
Yeah. Okay.